Episode 7 of The Ordinary Christians. I'm with whom?
Derek Bukema is one of the people. Oh, sorry. Ron's supposed to go first. Let's start over again.
No, it doesn't matter.
Derek, please be quiet.
All right. My bad.
Ron Sitlau here over in Orland Park, hiding from the coronavirus.
And Derek Bukema over here in Orland Park as well, being kicked out of Tinley Park for failing to wear a mask.
Yes, you'll hear about. And Bob Bauer in Dyer, Indiana, across the border. And today we're going to talk about interesting topic of ordinary Christians that hopefully we'll be able to address biblically and spiritually. And that is how this virus affects us emotionally. Anxiety, stress, fears, and overwhelming emotions. Hope you enjoy. Today, we're going to talk, the three of us, about how the virus that's confronting the world relates to our emotions, stress, anxiety, depression, sadness, and the like. And I'm just going to start with a stat. I'm in Indiana, and on average, normally, when there wasn't a virus, the suicide hotline received 1,000 calls a day. Last week, it was 6,400 per day, just to give you an idea of the changes that are taking place in terms of people's anxiety and fears and worries. And so we want to talk about that. And this is an ordinary Christian real thing. I'm sure there are people that are tuning in going, wow, this is real. I'm struggling with myself. Do you guys have any opening comments about the reality of this?
Yeah, I'm someone who's really familiar with anxiety as a ongoing reality in my life. And so I'm always interested in hearing from those I love and trust about the way forward into solid hope, into solid peace. And I think this is another opportunity to think about that.
This is a topic where I'm excited to learn.
Yeah, good. So let's start just talking about some of the symptoms that people may be experiencing in the last 7 weeks. I'll say to myself, I normally sleep. I'm not a great sleeper, but there have been nights where at 3 a.m. till almost 4:30 where I was wide awake. That's unusual for me. And I can trace it to thinking about the ministry dynamics, once in a while, fears of like, how am I going to handle this situation? It's real to me. I don't know if you guys, other symptoms that you know of.
When anxiety is kind of ruling the roost, we catastrophize. We fixate on the worst possible scenario, which is, you know, it is possible, but so are about 99 other things. And, but when we're in that kind of state, we look at what is the worst that might happen and we become overcome by that.
I mean, people are not themselves in when they're filled with this anxiety and depression. Derek, I think you told us a story of how someone snapped at you.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us that story. That's pretty wild.
Oh, he broke the law, but instead of that, sorry. Oh.
Brace yourself.
Well, I think that it just speaks to the fact that we are people who are on edge. So I, just before recording this podcast, I went to Walt's in Tinley Park to do some grocery shopping. Now, what I did not realize is that Tinley Park has a requirement that you wear masks when you're out in public. So I walked into the store without a mask. And two women who were bagging at the end of the grocery store aisles turned and yelled to the point of screaming at me, "You are not allowed in this store." And I said, "Why not?" And they're like, "You're not wearing a mask." And I said, "I thought that started May 1st in Illinois." And one woman looked at me and she said, "Not in the village of Tinley Park. You get out of here. There is a mask requirement." And then there was an old man who was right behind me who cussed at me, said that.
and Derek, you're such a nice guy. I would never think, but you know what? Let's be honest. I think pre-virus, that would have never happened.
Never.
Like, I mean, people are just so on edge. And
you are what we're touching upon is that our anxiety is now societal. It's not individual. The whole world is faced with its fragility and the unknown, even though it's always been true. And we're kind of being rocked by it.
We are.
Oh, we are. And that's why I think it's good for us to talk about it. First of all, just psychologically. And then at the end, we're going to talk about it like spiritually as a Christian, as the Word of God would say. So like I interviewed a Christian therapist recently about this, and she had a really interesting insight that kind of honestly changed me. She said, what the problem with the virus is that people are thinking about something way out there that they can't control. She said, what you should be doing is only focusing your life on what you can control that's right in front of you. So a lot of energy people are wasting on is, when can we start going to restaurants again? When can we get our kids in school? Will I be able to graduate from college? Things that they can't control, and that all that energy is wasted on something that you can't control. Nobody knows when the government's going to say it's finally been lifted. But what you can control is yourself, what's in front of you today. And that was really helpful for me. It's separated from, focus on something you can't control. I can't control when Illinois and Indiana is going to lift the cover, as I call it, to go back to somewhat ordinary life. But what I can control is, what am I feeling right now? What am I addressing in my life? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yep,
it does. In fact, I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast recently, which I was turned on to by none other than Ron Sitlau, who told me about the podcast.
If there's anyone listening, please don't send me emails. Thank you.
Well, you can send them to me. Because I was doing the listening, and there was a Navy SEAL instructor who was on there, and he was talking about Navy SEAL training. He was talking specifically about Hell Week. He was talking about how it's a week where the Navy SEALs are allowed like 2 hours of sleep for the whole week. And you could get like a maximum of 5 hours of sleep if you win competitions. And then you're given 15 minutes where you can just lay on the beach and sleep for 15 minutes. That's your reward for winning a competition. Anyway, what he said is that if you think about getting through the week, you will not make it through the week. He said, nobody can make it through the week. He said, it's a week to get you to think, I just have to get through the next thing. And he said, and the only way that you can make it through is if you make your world small and stop thinking, can I get through this week? And start thinking, can I make it through this task? Because that is, that's the only way to do it.
Really good.
And I think that, that is a sort of intensity that I don't think that I could get through. I don't think I could get through a single one of those tasks. But I, given that I'm just not physically or mentally fit enough to do that, but I do think that we're in the sort of situation where we have to make our world small, and where we have to say, yeah, not that can I get rid of the virus, not can I find a vaccine, or not can I figure out a way for society to move forward, but can I get through this? Can I get to lunch? Right? Can I make it to dinner? What do I need to do in order to do that?
And go ahead.
I think that making the world small, and the other thing that he says that you have to do to make it through SEAL training, especially the Hell Week, is to say, can I think about we rather than just me? And I think that's the other way to approach this.
That's good.
Here's something that I have learned and I love. You know, when anxiety engages us and it overwhelms us, it actually triggers stress hormones in the brain, where the amygdala, the fight or flight response, it turns on. And that's why people get frozen or become, irate. And there is a real simple trick that if you can do something that is completely out of the reality of the virus, your stresses, whatever's going on, like going on a walk, going on a run, watching a TV show and enveloping yourself in it, reading a book, your brain automatically resets itself. And you can actually, it's the same thing that happens when you sleep. You know, most people will get this, is that things always look better after a night's sleep. It's because your brain has reset itself and it now can see it in new ways. You can do it during the day. And I often do this, and it has been one of the best ways in which all I'm doing is I can't live in the future. I can only live in the moment. And way that I do that is finding a way to be present to the moment.
That's really good. A couple things that I've learned and have experienced. One is to understand your feelings. people are that are agitated, or that person, Derek, that went nuts on you in the with a card in the store, one of the ways that you can overcome is to address your feelings. Say, this is what I'm feeling right now. Because oftentimes we don't know what we're feeling until we put words to it. Like right now I'm feeling happy. That's a feeling because I get to do this with you guys. That just helps identify if I said to you, right now I'm feeling anxious, you guys say, why are you anxious? And if I can get to that level of why am I feeling this way, it prevents chaos. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
for sure.
Another thing I learned through this this friend who's a therapist, she said to me, a lot of people are like not wanting to get out of bed. They're unmotivated. And that's all part of this, the emotional effect of this virus. And she said to overcome that, she said, it's very important to make a list each day. I thought that was fascinating. She said, make a list of things that you want to do. Grocery shop. I want to read a book. I want to plant the garden. I want to wash the car. I want to clean that closet out. And she said, believe it or not, checking off those things on that list are healthy for you emotionally and mentally. What a practical way to say, okay, because a lot of us as ordinary Christians, let's be real, we're struggling with these things.
Yeah. Because we get overwhelmed, right? That's what happens when the future is such a big thing and seemingly dangerous, is that we get overwhelmed. And the effect of it is we don't live our ordinary life. We shut down. And the good work is to do exactly what you said. Find one thing you can do. And Jordan Peterson actually talks about this at length, that the goal of moving out of this state of passivity or of being stuck is to do something, whatever it is, in which you move and act. And when it's completed, then you have your own energy and it builds on itself and you find yourself in a different place. And it's just, you can practice it. You can try it to see if it's true. And it really works.
That's really cool. That's really helpful. I think in all of this, it's helpful to note also that there are clinical cases of anxiety, and that an ordinary Christian should not be afraid of going to your doctor and, getting medicated for these sorts of things. I know that there's sometimes a stigma that surrounds this sort of thing, sometimes in Christian communities. And I think that to speak to ordinary Christians, to recognize that God makes use of means, and I really appreciate the means that you guys are pointing out, you know, like making a list, accomplishing something, you know, just doing a task. I think that one of those things should be thinking about others and seeing if you could just do something for them, either praying for them, sending them a card. But also sometimes the way that one of those means would be to go to your doctor or to see a counselor or to get medication for this. And that's a part of an ordinary Christian's response to
very
anxiety
good.
In a clinical sense.
Absolutely. Let's start talking about spiritually, how should we address anxiety, stress, fears, overwhelming sense of loss, immobilized emotions. You know, how do we address this as ordinary Christians?
Yeah, I will. This is what I believe and what I seek to experience is that this world is my Father's and it's an absolutely safe place to be. And that anything that might happen that seems different than safe and good is only because I don't see what he's doing, but he can be trusted. And the way that I experience that in the moment is I think everyone should memorize Psalm 23, and it ought to be a kind of devotion and prayer so that until you feel the texture of it, because Psalm 23 is about life as it ought to be in the kingdom. And when your mind changes, what you realize is that this virus actually cannot touch you. It doesn't have the ability to touch what is most important, which is your soul, your love for God, God's love for you, and that God really is enough. What a gift if we could figure that one out.
Yeah, that's really good. I think the answer that Ron gave is crucial, and that is to let the Word of God speak to you in this emotional chaos that you may be going in. So I had a sleepless night. I'm going to say that probably I've had 4 or 5 episodes since this started where, for unknown reasons, I get up from 2 in the morning and I'm, at first I try listening to a radio, so I put my earbuds on, started listening to some talk radio, and honestly, they made it worse because they're talking about the virus. And I mean, I'm embarrassed to say this. I should have gone to God's word first, but then I just stopped and I didn't get out my Bible. I just started thinking about what was going on. Why was I anxious? And came to my mind God's word, which said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. In the middle of the night, now it's probably, episode was like 1:30 till 3. Finally at 3, I started surrendering and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to hand you the concern I have about the economy of the church. I'm going to hand over to you, Lord, this, when will this end, anxiety? And I literally prayed that prayer of giving over to the Lord the anxiety. I said, Lord, I'm bringing it to you. And now it wasn't like I right away went back to sleep, but I'll be honest with you, I did. And I'm like, I practice and it the scriptures, and it worked in prayer. How else do you address?
I think another way to address anxiety is to act in love towards other people. So I mean, there's a very present example. I told you about my experience at the grocery store, and I got worked up. Obviously, if you're being screamed at and cursed at, it's very easy to internalize that anxiety or that frustration, that anger. By God's grace, there were two members of Orland Park Christian Reformed Church in the grocery store while this was happening. One just said, the same thing happened to me, Pastor. I had to go to Menards and buy a mask. And the other one turned and looked at me and said, I make masks. And it's the way that I've been getting through this, is making masks for other people. And so I'm going to give one to you. And while we have been recording this, I got a text message from somebody at church that said that this person just dropped off a mask for me at church. So that
I thought they were going to say they have a warrant for your arrest. That's what I was thinking about.
Only in Tinley Park.
That's so good.
But it's amazing how that act of love, really, I mean, it really undoes all the, it really undoes all of the anxiety or the, you know.
Yeah. And Derek, you know, I'm going to take off from what you said. So there's the possibility, we're so sinful that aloneness could turn self-centered.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And so one of the anxieties that you may be having as an ordinary Christian is that it's me, my world is calling. I'm really freaked out. And the actual biblical response should be to love your neighbors yourself. And what may trigger your health is if you start giving your life away. Bake cookies and go set them in someone's porch. Do something to give your life away and you will watch your spirits be lifted. I've watched people do this. I've seen people that are taking advantage gospel-wise of giving their life away and finding life in it. Does that make sense?
For sure.
It's the economy of the kingdom of God. Yeah. I mean, you seek to find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for the Lord, you'll find it.
One of the things, I want to go back to what Derek said about, you know, some of us, we just have messed up chemicals. And so what you need to do in anxiety is, you know, I've had anxiety since I was like 4 or 5 years old. I remember living with it my whole life. Now, I don't know why that is. I mean, I wish it were different. And medication has given great grace to me. But there's a big difference between a situational anxiety, like, you know, even the coronavirus is situational. You know, we all believe that it's going to be over at some point. And then the anxiety lifts, right? Well, if you're chemically imbalanced to whatever degree, it doesn't matter what's happening. There's something wrong in your body. And when that's true, again, what Derek said is you can read all the scriptures you want. You're still going to be a little screwy in the head. And the best thing you can do is, you know, go get some help.
All good and perfect gifts are from above.
Yeah.
The scriptures say, including medication when necessary and appropriate. Absolutely. What else has helped you guys, emotionally or from the stress of all this?
My children, you know, they're not, for the most part, they care very little about, you know, the coming apocalypse. They're just riding their bikes and playing and, you know, having fun. And so, you know, when I enter into their world, the other world escapes and they live in such a great world. it really is, you know, that's what Jesus meant, I think. And you have to become like one of these, you know. There's such transparency and honesty and love and trust and safety. It's such a great world. And I think, you know, we watch way too much news, read too much. It is not helpful. You know, like everyone's an expert at epidemiology now and constitutional law, and, you know, which is, you know, fine. I'm one of those persons. But at the end of the day, that's not really helping our souls stay centered.
I want to add an idea that has worked for me, and it is biblical, and that is to take care of the temple that God has given us of our bodies. I think the endorphins that kick in when you walk, you run, you exercise, play into this as well. And I am a runner. I have been for 40 years, but it is not because I'm some superstar. I have just discovered that for Bob Bauer, he needs, because of the stress of ministry, then being a, you know, the parent, the husband, all that stuff, and then you add to it this emotions of the virus. These morning runs with me are life-giving. It's spiritual, it's supernatural, that somebody listening, an ordinary Christian, may be all wound up, tight, freaking out. If you literally went for a walk, something will change. And that's why the Bible tells us to take care of the temple. We're not just a soul. We're not just a mind, but we're a body, and we're one that God has made us. Is that?
Yeah. Amen. Sense? You know, I feel like that when I eat my croissant with chocolate sauce in the morning, and just something happens. Something happens. God sets me free. No, I absolutely agree. You, it resets your mind.
Smarty pants. Smarty pants. So do you guys, have you been exercising? Can I hold you accountable in this podcast?
10,000 steps a day.
Good man.
I walk with my kids almost every day. We go walk the dogs and try to burn out the energy. So.
And your boys have energy. All boys do. They tend to have lots of energy.
The other thing that we do in our family is usually at lunch, we do a dance party, me and my kids. So we will we'll play
a song
and
that?
Dance to it.
Can you record that?
I can sometime? Try to send it to you.
Yeah, I'd be waiting.
We do it too. We should somehow Zoom it. How fun.
I love it.
I myself don't dance because I'm a Christian, but I let my kids.
What a dork. I think the other thing that I think helps emotionally is community. And this is really strange because we can't gather, but yes, we can. This podcast, I can see Ron, you're in Orland. Are you in Orland or Tinley?
Orland.
And then Derek, you're in?
I'm in Orland also, Orland. Except when I step into Tinley and then get kicked out.
Your most wanted list. But what I'm trying to say is this is actually community and this is life-giving. And so to use the cell phone, to use Zoom meetings, to use connectivity where you see somebody, that also brings your spirits up. A call to a lonely grandma, grandpa, an aunt and uncle, a friend, somebody who's in isolation, you will be used by God to bring life to someone.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
How do you want to wrap up, guys? What kind of charge do we give one another and ordinary Christians on the area of psychology and the emotions that are taking place?
Anytime there is a crisis, whether it's personal, you know, you lose your spouse or you get a terminal disease, or it's global where we're facing a very uncertain future, every Christian has a choice. We can rely upon the flesh and we can seek to figure it out on our own. Or we can go into we can go with Christ and we can grow in the kingdom. And so my encouragement would be go with Christ and see what he has for you.
I think that my encouragement would be that I think there have been some really great practical things that ordinary Christians can do that have been sprinkled out throughout this. And I think that, sleeping, if you can. I think getting up and walking and exercising is really good. And I think that if we all just tried to do one thing for somebody else, tried to do an expression of love and care for another person, maybe in our church family each day or in our own family, I think that this would be a great thing to help us in our anxiety and, our depression.
Good. Mine would be to be honest. Be honest with yourself about what you're feeling. Don't pretend like everything's great if it's not. Just be honest. Say, this is what I'm feeling. Be real and true. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to someone else. And certainly get the help in that process. Well, guys, thanks again. This is kind of fun. I love you guys as brothers in Christ, but I love also dialoguing about these important topics that ordinary Christians face. Episode
7.
And we're to an end. God bless.